Last week we talked about, and we took the time to talk about the real foundation. Let me tell you why we took the time. Let me tell you why the Holy Spirit said, no, you have to teach this first. Here's why. Because Jesus said it like this. He said, you know what? From the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus said like this, either make the tree good and the fruit good, or make the tree bad and the fruit bad. Because what you have to do is you have to deal with the root. You have to deal with your heart. You have to deal what is the underlining focus of Christianity. Well, here's the underlining focus of Christianity. The underlining focus of Christianity has got to be above all things, Colossians chapter, I think it's 3. Have it up here on the screen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Look what it says. Above all things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of peace. Above all things, we have to walk in love. And what is love? What did we look at last week? Well, here's the deal. Can I tell you what the issue is? Can I tell you why you're not as sweet as you need to be? Can I tell you, it's the sermon title is The Gift of Kindness. Part 1 last week, part 2 this week. The gift of kindness. Can I tell you how come we don't give the gift of kindness like we should? Here's why. Because ultimately, we're not walking in the love that we should. Ultimately, it's a heart issue. And the Bible says that love is not provoked. Look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, starting with verse 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and not having not love, I become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can remove mountains, I've got faith. I'm moving mountains with my faith. But look what the Bible says. But have I not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. It's kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. And really, we focused here because I think this is such a critical component to what love is. The Bible says love is not provoked. Amen. Amen. Love is not provoked. And let me tell you about this. We have got to the place where we have developed a receptivity to irritation. We have gotten into a rut where we have, and I don't know what your level is, but at some point in time, you think you're justified because, after all, he shouldn't be doing this to you. No. This shouldn't be happening. See, let me tell you about love. Love has got to be a preconceived notion. Because if it's not a preconceived notion, in the course of time, in the course of your day, in the course of your week, I'm telling you what, it's tough out there. People are irritating all day long. And as if they're not irritating enough, then you get to come home and deal with the irritation of your family. I know this is, nobody can relate to what I'm saying. I know that, except for the people on FaceTime. If you're on FaceTime, welcome. We're glad you're here. But you have to have a preconceived notion. Love is something that you do. Love is a decision that we make. Our problem is we have watched way too many Disney movies. See, we think love is a feeling, and when that feeling leaves, we think love left. No, love is a preconceived notion of something that you're going to do, and one of the main things that you've got to decide to do is that I won't allow anyone to tick me off. I wake up in the morning and I preconceive, I make a notion, I make a dedication, I make a decision. Like Job said, I make a covenant with my eye. He in the morning makes a decision. I'm not going to look at anything except my wife because I am separated unto her. It's preconceived. I will not let, you cannot tick me off. You cannot make me mad. I am not irritable. And so we have to teach that. Because Jesus says, if the tree's bad, the fruit's going to be bad. And so what we do is we have levels and we have justified. We have said to ourselves, yes, 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 I'm tolerant and I will take some stuff. But at some point in time, we say enough is enough. And we have a bar. I don't know where your bar is. For some of you, you're easily irritated. Somebody just bumps into you. You're like, man, what's your problem, man? You see, don't you know who I am? I'm standing right in front of you. You know what? Somebody just bumps you. You have a low level. For others, you have a higher level. You know what? You don't get irritated till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Amen. Amen. For others of you, you are self-righteous and you walk in love, but you know what? But enough is enough. And at 7 o'clock, you blow your stack. And here's what I want to say. I want to say, you know what? The bar needs to not be raised higher. We need to throw the bar away. We need to throw the bar away. Matthew chapter 12, starting with verse 22. Matthew chapter 12, starting with verse 22. And one was brought to him who was demon-possessed. They bring this guy, he's demon-possessed. And they bring him to Jesus, and he's blind and he's mute. Imagine, you can't see and you can't speak. Imagine your brokenness. And Jesus heals this guy so that the blind and the mute man both spoke. And he saw. Imagine this. He comes, he can't speak, he can't see. After being with Jesus, Jesus heals him and he leaves seeing and speaking. Amen. What should be the response? Well, I tell you the response. This response should be hallelujah, praise the Lord. Glory God to Jesus. Look at what this man has done. He has healed this brokenness. Even if it's not you, to raise up your hands and say, awesome. That is awesome. Look what just happened. But look what happens out of their mouth. Out of some people that are there, look what comes out of their mouth. And the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? What are they saying? David was the man. David raised Israel up to a height that it had never experienced before. And since that time, militarily, spiritually, economically, when David was king, you know what? There was no greater nation than Israel. And Israel hadn't ever been at that place. And then when David left, when he wasn't king anymore, they started to go down. Let me just tell you this. I don't know who needs to hear this, but the more God you have, the better your life is going to be. Amen. Period. I don't care what anybody says. I'm telling you the truth. The more you have of God in your life, the better your life's going to be. The less you have of God in your life, the worse your life is going to be. Amen. That's the reality. And David not only brought a macho, healthy, you know what, don't mess with us attitude into Israel, but he brought in a spirituality. He was close to God and he wasn't ashamed of Jesus Christ. His wife, who was way too skinny jeans-ish, you know what, got upset. And one of the reasons she got upset is because, you know what? He had a royal robe. You know, how many know people are into the status symbol? And he had the status of king. Well, he got out there with the praisers, and he started taking that robe, and whoa, Thank you, Jesus. And that wasn't dignified enough for her. The more you have of God, the better your life's going to be. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the power for wholeness in your life. And so they saw this and they said, this is the son of David. This is the man. This is the heritage of David. And so they were praising God and had this anticipation. But look what happens next. But now the Pharisees heard and said, look what some people said at this moment. Look what they said. This fellow does not cast the demons out except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Why would they say such a thing? Here's why. The same reason why you say crazy things come out of your mouth. Because the heart is bad. You have to make the heart good, because the heart being the tree. Look at this. But Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will stand. Now watch this. Then he says this. Oh, no. Go down to 33. Either make the tree good and the fruit good, or else, this is the same passage, this is the same time, and he's speaking to them, he's saying, here's the problem. And God's speaking to the Pharisees, but God is speaking to us this morning. Here is the issue. Either make the tree good and the fruit good, or else make the tree bad or the fruit bad. Here's why. For the tree is known by its fruit. The next verse, look at the next verse. Brood of vipers. How can you, watch this, how can you do this? How can you, being evil, speak good things? Can I tell you what? It's not going to happen. And you can try to suppress it. You can try to put your game face on. You can try to put your Christianity on the best you can, and good, praise God, try. But the bottom line is, what you got to do is you got to make the tree good. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we spent last week and we said, what is the issue? Here's the issue. The issue is you have decided that you are not going to walk in love, because love will not be irritated. Love is preconceived, and you've got to make a decision that I will not let anybody irritate me. When you do that, something's going to change. And you will go from having contempt for people to falling in love with people. You said, but Pastor, I love people. I love people. I love Anthony. I love Pastor Tamara. You know what? I love Pastor George. I love people. Hey, guys, I'm smiling. Nice try. Nice try. Duh.
Oh, is it hard? Ooh, it's really hard to love Pastor George, isn't it?
Come on. This guy's so easy to love. Are you kidding me? Daniel. Who doesn't love Daniel? Are you kidding me? Right? Right? The Bible says, hey, guys, wake up. Even the people who don't go to church love their friends. You know what? Even the Dodger fans go out with the Dodger fans and have hot dogs and beer and love each other, right? Is that not right? I mean, guys, really? Christians, that's what you're going to come up with? No! There has got to be a difference in our hearts. What's my first point? My first point, and I won't be long today. My first point is simply this. Ugly in, ugly out. Right? Ugly in, ugly out. I like telling stories. Jesus told stories, and they are a great way to communicate spiritual truths. So I go over to, and maybe some of you have heard this story, but it's to my embarrassment that I'll tell it to you again. I go over to Taco Bell. I take my wife with me. I have the church van, And you know what, which is awesome, you know what, reaching our world with the explosive power of God's word and his love, you know, right on the van. I get out of the van. I drive through. I just want to get her, what are the good tacos over there? What do they call those? It's the ones with the good Doritos Locos, okay? Good taco, even though they don't give you enough cheese, it's still a good taco. You know what? How can a good taco when they make the shell is a Dorito chip? I mean, it's the kind. So she wants one of those tacos. I don't blame her. And she wants it with the Supreme. Who knows what the Supreme is? See, sour cream. See, you don't even work at Taco Bell and you know this. So you think somebody who works here could get it, right? I go through the drive-thru, they don't, and I tell her right before, hey, make sure you do it like this. And I get it, and it doesn't have it. So I go in, and oh my goodness, and it was crazy. And I lost it. I just lost it. I was just like, okay, I've had enough. You know what? Your local El Taco. This is craziness. I'm like, where's the camera? Is somebody messing with me? And I just like let her have it. Listen, you would have let her have it way before I let her have it. But that's not my point. My point is I had some place that I said enough is enough. And so I just went off. I was like, I'm leaving there. My wife's, oh, do you have my taco? I'm like, no. You know what? I'm going to go to the grocery store. I'm going to buy some sour cream. I'm going to put it on your taco because they can't seem to figure this out. I was so upset. Then I go to turn the car over. See, I want to leave there. I want to get out of there. You know what I mean? I'm embarrassed because I was provoked. I don't want to leave. You know what? I'm like, whoa, you know what I mean? So I run on over across the street and who was here? You were here. Chanel. And I was like, Chanel, get over here. You know what? I gotta get away quick. You know what I mean? I was so embarrassed, and so Chanel came over and jumped our van and rescued us. But here's the point. The point is, ugly in, ugly out. And the issue is, you're not preconceived enough. You have to make, I'm telling you what, life is too tough. People are too crazy. You have to make a preconceived notion that I'm not going to, but watch this, but if you do, your life is going to be a life of peace and joy. Because in the course of time, people are going to irritate you. And you've already made a decision, I will not be irritated. So you're going to get to the end of your lunch break and you're going to be in peace. And you're going to get into your dinner break and you're going to be in peace. And you're going to get to the end of the day and you're going to wake up the next day and you're going to move from day to day, from week to week. And let me tell you what you're going to do. And then from the heart, the mouth speaks. When the tree's good, the fruit's good. And you're going to minister to those people at Taco Bell. And when they know they're blowing it and they know and they're used to this fight of you react and I'll be snotty to you, you know what, you're just the customer, and they're used to the customer being crazy back to them, you're going to say, it's okay, you know what, it's no big deal. And they're going to go, what? Who is this? See, that's a different reaction. You're going to, can I tell you what? You have no idea what they're going through. You have no idea what their life is like. You have no idea. But you know what? We're so used to criticizing and judging and figuring everything out and being self-appointed to tell them how they should act. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? See, think about it. We make these self-judgments on people. You know, I don't know what it was, maybe a year ago, Pastor George told me, well, my English isn't very good. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Now, let me tell you something. My Spanish isn't very good. Do you understand? I mean, really? But we make these judgments on people. It's interesting because James says this. James says this, talking to Christians. He says this. Well, let me tell you what should be going on. From your mouth shouldn't come fresh water and bitter water. Here's what should be happening. He says, it shouldn't be this way. Here's what should happen out of our mouth. Freshness. Freshness in the morning, freshness in the afternoon. You know what? Life should be coming out of, he says, what you shouldn't be doing is with your same mouth that you bless God, you curse men with. Man, how many know God has the integrity to just tell us, to slap us with the truth sometimes? So we come in, we sing praises songs, but then we go out and we speak cursing. You know what? God is speaking. You said, Pastor, how can you teach this? Here's how I can teach this, because God is working this in my life. We need to prepare for Christmas. So we're going to go to Christmas at grandma's house. And we already know who's coming. You know what? Uncle Crazy and Aunt Looney is coming. And we know that because they always come and they're always crazy and they're always loony and they're so negative and they're so ungodly and whatever judgments we have and they wear their hair all weird and whatever stuff we come up with. And so we take the time and the whole way coming, we anticipate their craziness and we speak it over and over and over and over again till we get to the house and then we open the door and then we say, and then we put on our fake Christianity, oh, Merry Christmas, oh, hi, Aunt, you know what, oh, so good to see you, Uncle. The whole time you're talking about them, the whole time into the plow, you, what? Ephesians, guys in the back, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Look what it says. Let all bitterness, what does all mean? We have this go-to. Can I tell you what Christians' go-to is many times? And it shouldn't be. Our go-to is, well, I'm not perfect. No, I'm not perfect. I'm not talking about, I'm just telling you. Can I tell you what? Can I teach you good theology? The Bible doesn't tell you to do something and not empower you to do it. You know what all means? Guess, let all bitterness. You're embittered towards them. And look at the groupings. Look at, well, let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor. You've been clamor. Even clamor sounds bad, right? Clamor. You're clamoring all the way in. Let all of it. What, you know what it is? It's evil speaking. This should have no place in the body of Christ. James says it shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't come to church on Sunday and sing his praises. And then on the way to grandma's house, talk about how crazy Uncle and Aunt Looney Tune. Interesting. Whole different scripture. Same thought. Watch this. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2:1. Look at 1 Peter. Therefore, laying aside, do you see the groupings? All malice, all deceit, all what? All hypocrisy. Can I tell you what? Guys, I love you. I've done it too. I'm preaching this to you because God is working it out in my life. But I don't want to be that way. I only want to be a blesser. What is this? You know what it is? It's hypocrisy. You know what? And then, you know what? And then you're like, oh, see you next year. Love you. Thanks for the gift. Oh, I love that gift. Thank you so much. And as soon as you get in the car, as soon as the windows are rolled up, you're like, unbelievable. You know, they got that stupid gift. What, you know, do they shop anyplace else but Kmart? I don't even think Kmart is around very much. How do they find a Kmart? This office look so cheap. You know, at least they could think about, you know, at least they could think about what I really want. You know what I mean? You know what this is? Guys, I love you. This is hypocrisy. This is hypocrisy. With our mouth, we ought to be blessers. So my second point is get all in. All in. Make a decision, a preconceived notion. You are not going to talk about anyone. And get all in. Make a decision that no trash is coming out of your mouth. How do you do that? You got to make the tree good. Because if the tree's not good, the fruit's not going to be good. And my last point, you know what people respond to? People respond to praise. They don't respond to criticism. How many like being told, you know what, they look nice? How many like being told they have a nice shirt or that's those are cute shoes or you know what, I like your new glasses or here's a good one, or have you lost some weight? How many like that one? That's a good one. You look like you lost some weight. That's a great one. And I'm not saying just say it to say it, but what I'm saying is, yeah, I'm not saying. That's hypocrisy too. But anyway, I'm not saying that. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying you can create an atmosphere where you just look at someone and you're looking to compliment them. You're not looking to criticize them. You're just looking to compliment them. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, you know, listen, it's better to live in the wilderness. In the wilderness with the bears and the lions and all that's cold. It's better to live in the wilderness than with a, with a contentious woman. Yeah. See, some of you women are like. See what? All I did was quote the word and you got offended. Amen. What are you talking about women, man? What are you talking about women? Listen, I'm just quoting the word. That's all I'm saying. But here's the reality. Here's the reality. That is true. But it's true to live with anybody contentious. Contentiousness doesn't mean, I mean, you can be a contentious woman. You can be a contentious man. Amen? You can be a complainer. You know what? All kind of people. Young people complain. Old people complain. All kind of people complain. And you get in that mode that's who you are, becomes who you are. And listen, it's in my notes. Listen, here's one thing I want you to do. I want you to start, listen to me. I want you to start to listen to what's coming out of your mouth. The Holy Spirit started speaking to me and said, you know what, Drew? Start listening to what comes out of your mouth. Because you're a pretty positive person. My dad was just a great, great, great one to teach optimism. And he taught it to me all my life. And so for the most part, I don't speak about people. And for the most part, I'm very, very optimistic. But the Holy Spirit pointed out to me, let all malice be gone. Let all bitterness be gone. Get rid of all of it. Because let me tell you about it. The Bible says it's a little bit, a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. And all of a sudden you have, watch this, all of a sudden you have a preconceived notion of how, listen to me, somebody, how good you are and all the goodness that comes out of your mouth. And the Holy Spirit told me to tell you today, listen to me, that you need to start listening to yourself. Because there's a self-deception going on. You think you're doing way better than you are actually doing. And if you will start listening and analyzing and judging what's coming, just listen to what you say. And if you'll start doing that, I'm telling you what, you'll be convicted and you'll sit down and say, oh my goodness, you'll make a commitment just like I made a commitment. I am not going to do it. I'm not going to make a judgment. And when and as God is changing my heart, okay, and I said all that to say this, I'm becoming the words of healing that are coming out of my mouth. That I say, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for ministering to us today. Thank you for willing to have a willingness to say something that might be a little exposing, vulnerable. Because here's the truth, Anthony. We're all broken. And maybe we can't relate exactly to how you were raised, but every single one of us was raised in dysfunctional families. And when you started talking about the focus on Jesus Christ and what his plan, when you started ministering and you said that, you know what, you could either take this road, which was the same road that you could create that dysfunction to your kids and your grandkids, or you could take this other road. Man, you ministered to me. Daniel, thank you for caring about who's here. Let me tell you about Daniel. Daniel, I don't have the best memory, and I'm not as good as other people are, but Daniel's my little helper. And I say, Daniel, you know this, you know what? I forget their name. Can you help me out? And Daniel goes, oh. And he helps me. Amen. Where's Mark? Hey, Mark, thank you for the leadership that you bring. Thank you. I cannot be everywhere, but I need someone who will lead, that will create an atmosphere of safety and service, that people come in, are greeted, and are made to feel welcome and have a good seat, and this familiarity to this is home. That's what you create. Can I tell you what? And you can ask my wife. I will not talk about you on the way home unless it is to say something that would be a blessing in your life. Why? Because I'm all in. I can't do that. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to bless people. There's opportunities you're going to have. I tell the first service, my daughter, about just 10 days ago. And you know what? And I'm not a perfect father. I'm far from a perfect father. I look back and I just think, oh, why didn't I? I could have done better here, and I could have done better there, and I should have been more this, and I should have been more that, and Satan, who's the accuser of brethren, just wants to accuse me, and I think, you know what, oh, my girls are now too old, and not that they're old, I'm not saying that. You know, these crazy young people think as soon as they're like 30, you know, 4, they're old or something, or 28, they're old. It's crazy, but all I'm saying is, you know what, I can get into this regret mode. And so the other day I just spoke to Shayla and I just told her, I said, Shayla, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm not as expressive as I need to be around you girls. But I'm not. And at this point I'm just bawling. Because I'm filled with regret. I said, Pastor, why did you do that? Because I don't want to let an opportunity. I'd rather at least say I'm sorry. And I'm going to try to make it better. I don't have a time machine. I can't get in a time. But see, here's what. I don't want to wait for another 10 years to tell her that. And although I'm still not got it right, I got it better. I don't want opportunities to pass me by. I don't want to go under that bridge and come out and not having said how much I love my girls. I tell my son I love him all the time. Yeah, but that's your son. Whatever, dude. You can let that, and listen, for some of you, your dads didn't model it. From some of you, your dads weren't there to model it. But we don't, Anthony, but we don't have to let our fathers dictate. Praise God. And guys, and like the grace of God isn't coming to everybody. I mean, Anthony has shared, but you know what? There's incredible rest. Or can I share this? Of course I can. You shared it with everybody already. But in so. But here's all I'm saying is, you know what? Anthony's father is just, I mean, serving the Lord. And you know what I mean? See, you know what? We can't afford to speak cursing over them. Can't afford it. So, in closing, James Taylor is going to minister to us. You know, somebody said, you know, is James Taylor a Christian? Here's what I said. I don't know. And I don't care. And no, listen. And here's why. Because let me tell you what, his words are going to minister to us today. Because let me tell you what, we only have a small time. And we need to tell people how much we love them. We need to tell people what they mean to us. We need to take the words, we need to become people that will heal people. When I was in college, I only knew Dr. Best for one quarter. What's that, 8 weeks? 8 weeks, but Dr. Best was a blesser to my life. Dr. Best used her words, and she just lifted me up and said, Drew, you're not an idiot. You know what she said? She said, Drew, you're not dumb. Drew, I think God is going to do great things in you. You are going to be an awesome communicator of the gospel. Amen. Even the fact that you graduated from Pioneer High School. With God, all things are possible. Another friend, and I told you this story, but let me tell you why I tell you these stories over and over again, because these two people probably had one of the biggest impacts on my life. Dr. Bess, I only knew for 8 weeks, 9 weeks. And the other friend, who is still a good friend of mine, but we were only close for six months. And he used to look at me and say, that's a man of God right there. That's a man of God right there. See, we can use our words. If you think I'm trying to grab your emotion, you're 100% right. Because we have an opportunity this Christmas to shine and show the love of Christ to people who haven't been shown the love of Christ. When we walk in, they need to see Jesus. And you've been told that you can't, and it's impossible, it'll never happen, you're not perfect, all the go-tos. But Jesus says to you today, above all things, walk in love. Make a decision. With God, all things are possible. You can live a life and not be provoked, but you're not going to do it by accident. And you're not going to do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're not going to do it without making a decision in the morning that that's who I am. And that's how I'm going to be. Tamara and I are proud of you. We expect the best of you. We don't think that you're not going to be able to do this. Because let me tell you, Uncle Looney Tune and Aunt Crazy, they need to be ministered to. And a bunch of other people. Tamara?
I was sitting there thinking from the morning service, I was trying to remember these songs, and actually when Anthony shared his spoken word, which is his testimony, that he has just put in a form of art that we're all able to enjoy it. And as Pastor had shared, thank you for just making yourself vulnerable, you know what, to minister to all of us through your openness to be vulnerable, not be perfect. I was trying to remember, Casting Crowns had a song, but this was so awesome. When I was trying to find the title of it, I found another one of their songs. And so this is just beautiful how the Lord is tying this together. The song that I was thinking of this morning as I was talking to you in the first service, it's called Stained Glass Masquerade. And it's talking about that we would, that we have these facades of being perfect, which is so crazy because if you stop and think about it, you know that the person next to you is not perfect. Like, we already know that about each other. And yet we try to put on this front that we are more than we are, that we don't have any kind of issues when we have issues. And so this Stained Glass Masquerade song talks about that. But in your willingness to minister to us through a brokenness that was in your life, you're not playing that Stained Glass Masquerade. You're being real. And through that being real, you know what? One of the most powerful things in that wasn't the destruction, but it's the restoration. And he points us to the restoration that is the same restoration for every one of us, no matter what our details are, because we all have details. Another one of their songs that I found when I was looking for that, I was like, oh my goodness. And we've watched this video as a church many times, but it's called Does Anybody Hear Her? And it shows a young lady, and in her brokenness, and in her brokenness in the video, you can see how broken she is and how needy she is for the Lord in her life to be able to restore all that brokenness that's going on in her life. And she comes to the church, but when she gets to the church is too busy with their stained glass masquerade that it causes them to make judgments on her of all the manifestations that are going on in her life of that brokenness. And let me say it one more time. We all have that. Whatever it is, there's to some degree we're all dealing with stuff in our life, whether it's stuff from the current now or stuff from the past or stuff, just stuff. Remember we talked about that? Remember I talked about my music teacher and my biology teacher and just the stuff that gets on us? So we're all dealing with this stuff, and she gets to the church, and the church, because they're so in a habit of their stained glass masquerade, when she comes in, there's a lot of judgments made on her, and she feels so unwelcome and so unloved. Which is the irony, because the church, we as believers, what Jesus said was, if we don't have love, then we are nothing. And so we walk around trying to pretend that we're something, when the very thing that we need is to be these conduits, these vessels of love, that we're the ones that are making people feel not left out, but included in. That we make them feel loved. And so whether that's in the church, or whether that's in your workplace, or whether that's, you know what, at your Christmas gatherings or your family gatherings or in your home, it's still who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be these conduits of the love of God. Shayla, what's the name of that book that we read in Women of Hope, that one that you... Unglued. Okay. So this is awesome, because back to the scripture here about the hypocrisy and all the things that we're talking about today from that scripture of who we are or who we're not to be. Don't be this. It's not what love is. Love is not these things. But in this book, Unglued, it's interesting because the author is a Christian woman, and she calls somebody, I don't know if she called someone one day or they called her or whatever, but nonetheless, here's what ended up happening. You ever have the phone redial? Well, there was a pocket call, and the phone redialed. No, she had called this friend of hers, another leader in the church that she was ministering with, and they worked together. And the woman thought that she had hung up the phone, but she didn't. And she began to hear this woman talk about her. And she was just shocked. And more than shocked. Do you think she was hurt? Here she thought she had a friend, someone who loved God too. And this woman had that hypocrisy. She's smiling in her face, but the minute the phone was hung up, she's stabbing her in her back. And this is someone who professes to be a believer. Someone who knows the Word of God. I think, if we'll stop and think about it for a minute, every one of us at some point, would it be okay for a tape recorder to be on you all the time? It should be okay. You should be no different, you know what, in front of people than not in front of them. And if we should really begin, because can I tell you the truth? There is a tape recorder on you all the time. See, we walk in self-deception when we think that it's not. The Bible says we're going to give account for every idle word that comes from our mouth. If that's not an incentive for us to begin to deal with what's going on from our hearts and our mouth, then I don't know what is. And we should be able to do that with each other, as well as, you know what, with strangers, with family, with coworkers, whatever. If we can't say something that is edifying, if we can't say something that is at minimum pulling in faith for them, then we should just zip it and say nothing. We like to hear ourselves talk sometimes. We just talk too much. We run our mouth way too much. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could run that mouth in the positive as well as we run it in the negative? There's only one way that happens, and that happens by us meditating that which is good. In us meditating the reality of the fact that without love, nothing. Nothing. And these realities are something that we'll give account for sometime when we stand before Him. And so what do we do today? You know what? Because, you know what, if that's been the boat that we're in, well, we all know what to do. You know what? You get before the Lord, and you know what? You ask Him to forgive you, cover it in the blood, and you begin a new day. What does a righteous man do? Even though he falls seven times, he gets back up. And you begin to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to put a watch on your mouth, that the things that would come from you would not be both bitter and sweet, but that it would be a sweet water that comes from you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.